Oh my gosh, we're back. I am Amy Loboda. I am your host for Attitude Adjustment. This year we've got a little bit of a change of plans. We've got some guest co-hosts, and today my guest co-host is Jeb Burnside, the editor-in-chief of Aviation Safety Magazine. Jeb, happy to see you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Amy. It's a great opportunity, and I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's a good thing. He may or may not be happy about that later, but let's get through the hour.
We'll see.
And we'll call this the magazine roundup today, because I have my good friend and colleague, Stephen Pope. He is the editor-in-chief of Flying Magazine here. He has come all the way across the country from New Jersey here. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be back on the show.
We are so excited to see you again this year, and I know that you know what the newest and the best stuff is going on at the show. What's exciting you this year?
Yeah, that's always my main concern when I arrive on the grounds at Oshkosh, is to figure out, okay, what's the news of the show? What's happening? This year, it's not really any big airplane news. There aren't new airplane introductions other than a few modifications of airplanes that already exist, but no real new blockbuster news of airplanes. But there is a big story that's happening here at Oshkosh, and it all really started last year at Oshkosh when Dynon received approval for their D-10A flight display, which was an experimental flight display that for the first time ever gained an STC to be installed in Part 23 certified airplanes. And that opened the floodgates for other manufacturers to introduce formerly experimental avionics into certified airplanes. Garmin followed with their G5 flight display soon after last year's Oshkosh. So we were wondering, at this year's Oshkosh, would we see an explosion of products in the experimental market coming to the certified market? And boy, have we ever. Garmin really kicked off the news with introduction of G3X avionics system in the Cub Crafters X Cub, which is really, just when you think about it, it's amazing to see this very capable experimental avionics system come to a fully certified airplane. Dynon immediately followed with news that they're bringing a full cockpit to the retrofit market that you can install. And then from there, autopilot makers have been talking about bringing their safety enhancing gear, because the FAA will really allow anything that's safety enhancing gear to come to airplanes. And so we've seen just a huge number of autopilots introduced just here this week. So Garmin introduced two retrofit autopilots, the GFC-600 and GFC-500. TrueTrack introduced an autopilot. Trio introduced an autopilot. Bendix King introduced It's actually for analog autopilots to convert them to digital autopilots, which is cool. Genesis Aerosystems, which most people know formerly S-Tech, they introduced an autopilot. These are all autopilots that are under $10,000.
Disruptive. That's absolutely disruptive.
Yeah, and so that's really the big news of the show. When people look back at AirVenture 2017 and they say, what was the news of that show? It will really be this arrival of these formerly experimental products coming to the certified market. And this is really just the tip of the iceberg, really, you know, if you will.
It is. What do you see down the road? I mean, we have flight instrumentation, we have autopilots, we have other accoutrements, if you will, in the avionics realm. What's next? What's going to come?
Really, it could be anything that is safety enhancing. Mm-hmm. The FAA will really allow anything. And also with the Part 23 rewrite, which goes into effect at the end of August, mm-hmm. that will allow completely new airplanes to come along and take advantage of all these new technologies. And so this year, it's avionics at AirVenture. I think next year we'll see more avionics introduced, but I'm wondering if next year with the Part 23 rewrite, if that will open the floodgates for some airplane introductions, or at least some announcements of airplanes that have been introduced, that okay, now it's getting, you know, the Garmin cockpit, or now it's getting a Dynon cockpit into a brand new Part 23 certified airplane. That's really exciting, because it opens the gates to innovators to come in and basically, you say, disruptive technology, and to put technology into airplanes that before, just the way the certification regulations were structured, it was impossible to do it. These rules were written 40, 50 years ago,
exactly.
And you could not innovate on the pace that you can now. So I really applaud the FAA for making these changes, and really the whole aviation industry for coming together and recognizing that a change is needed. I know that some of the avionics manufacturers feel a little bit slighted in that they've done all of this.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because they really have. They spent a fortune.
Yeah, avionics manufacturers that have been creating avionics for the Part 23 market for the last 20 years have spent enormous sums of money in research and development, and then just the certification pathway that was so expensive. And now companies can come in and essentially do the same thing, but they don't have to spend the money. So those avionics companies feel maybe that it's not fair. But really, Garmin is a great example. Garmin saw the writing on the wall. Rather than complaining about it, they introduced the G5. They took their G3X, they brought it. So they just jumped into that market with both feet. And I think that's what all of the legacy, avionics manufacturers should do. That they should just recognize that this change is coming and deal with it and go full steam ahead. And it in the long run, it will be good for the industry. It will be good for pilots. It will be good for general aviation.
Is any of this going to make the iPad obsolete in the cockpit?
No, I think the iPad will still have a place in the cockpit, because there's so much you can do with the iPad, with the apps that you can run on it. That's really the beauty of the iPad, is that anybody can come along and develop an app. So for the avionics systems that people are building, they're not really designed around apps. So you could see that bringing charts to a mm-hmm. you know, like a G3X and an X-Cub. So the G3X version in that is VFR only. You wonder if an IFR version, I mean, it would be possible to turn that into an IFR system, and then you could have charts on the displays.
Well, you know, that's curious, because that's really all the full TSO boxes have left, is yeah. that they're IFR mm-hmm. navigators. So if that happens,
yeah, I don't think there's any reason why they couldn't really. I think it's really just the FAA and the avionics manufacturers doing it, you know, and allowing it.
Yeah.
I also like that the iPad still makes a tremendous remote controller repeater box, and it's a big button box. So there's a lot of people who are using it as the big button input now digitally, and it's Wi-Fi'd into their smaller buttons. And they're older people like me who have trouble seeing little teeny tiny, you know, radio frequencies and things like
that. It's very frustrating sometimes to have to be switching between sunglasses and helpers in the cockpit so you can change frequencies.
Yeah.
One of the things that struck me about this, I call it this proliferation of newer avionics relative to the iPads. You have all these new screens coming in, mounting in your cockpit, mounting in your panel. 10 years down the road, that screen technology is going to change, will have changed. That iPad will still be, or son of iPad, whatever it will be then, will still have that latest technology, and we're going to still need those in the cockpits.
Yeah, I think an iPad is really, it's say you have two flight displays in your panel and an iPad. So now you really have three flight displays, just one of them you're holding in your hand, and probably next year you'll toss that one and buy the next version of the iPad, which will have, you know, all the greatest capabilities. And like, there's a lot of capability that can be built into the iPad, because the iPad can play then with other boxes. One example of that is ForeFlight introduced the Scout ADS-B
receiver. That's something that I was watching, and it really surprised me that ForeFlight did that. They're competing with themselves.
No, they're not competing with themselves.
They're
you know what they're doing, is they're bringing a really genius product to the market, mm-hmm. and they're doing it. So here's the reason they're doing it. There was a study, and it was part of the NAAL report, and it found that that weather-related accidents, we always know that weather-related accidents have been very high, but once NexRad was introduced to the cockpit, and pilots could get weather information on board, there was a dramatic decrease in weather-related accidents, and especially among airplanes that had that equipment on board. And so the Scout, it's a $200 product that gives you all of that weather information. It gives you traffic information. You can pair it very easily with your iPhone, with your iPad. And so that's really the beauty of the iPad, is that you can bring all of this capability in, low cost, easy to do, and you can keep upgrading to the new technology very easily.
And you can read Flying Magazine on an
iPad. You can read Flying Magazine.
Or listen to music. No, it's really exciting. Flying has some great videos, too, that they're doing online now. Stephen Pope, thank you so much for being on Attitude Adjustment today.
Thanks, guys.